Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
I'm Brad Neese, live in Clayton this afternoon, where a major intersection is closed. Just 30 minutes ago is when this all happened. How long it will be closed and how it can affect your ride home from work later this afternoon.
More fallout from St. Augustine's University's financial troubles. Students will shift to remote learning in just 2 weeks. Now alumni groups are calling for the Board of Trustees to resign.
And today you can get answers for free for your tax-related questions. WRAL's Keely Arthur explains when you can talk to one of tax pros on call.
You could run into some major traffic in Johnston County. That's because Norfolk Southern closed the tracks on NC 42 near US 70 in Clayton about 30 minutes ago. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. For those of you who aren't familiar with that area, take a look at this map right here. NC 42 will be closed in both directions at the intersection right across from the Sheet store there. WRAL's Brett Neese is live near that area. And Brett, we understand this intersection will shut down during the evening commute as well.
Yeah, about 8 hours is what it's going to take, Jeff, for them to complete this work. They just put up the road closed signs behind me about 30 minutes ago. I'm going to step behind the camera and show you a little bit of what this work looks like. Norfolk Southern just told the town of Clayton about this closure last night, so it is rather new for the town, and they're trying to get the word out because this is such an important intersection here at US 70, Business 70, and 42. Right now, though, they do have Business 70 open. It still remains unclear whether or not Business 70 will close at some point during the day, but right now it just looks like it's 42 that's closed. They have all these detour signs set up so that they can have people get around this throughout the day, but it's really going to back up. The congestion's really going to start this afternoon when people are trying to get home from work, because there are just so many people that live in these neighborhoods, all these brand new neighborhoods along 42. I want to go over to WRAL's Brian Schrader. Brian, what are some of the best alternate routes to take in this area?
Brett, the town has set up two detours to get around that closure. Let's zoom into that side of Clayton. It's over on the east side of town, 42 East at Business 70. And already sensors are picking up some delays there on the westbound side of 70 approaching that closure at the railroad tracks. Here are the two possible alternates to consider. On the east side of Clayton, Powhatan Road to Glen Laurel Road. That'll take you back up to 42. If you're coming back from Raleigh, back home to work this evening, this is probably the detour you're going to be taking. Robertson Street into downtown Clayton, then a right on Front Street. That'll take you back to 42 on the other side of that closure. And that could get very congested as we head through the afternoon into the evening. A reminder, before you leave, or as you're leaving work, turn on the radio in the car and listen to us on the radio at 99.3 FM, WRAL News Plus. We'll be covering this through the afternoon, and we'll let you know how traffic is looking.
Brian, thanks. WRAL has learned St. Augustine's University is sending students home and classes are going virtual for the rest of the semester. We've told you about the HBCU's struggles to pay its bills and to keep its accreditation. Now, several alumni groups are calling on the university's Board of Trustees to resign. WRAL's Matt Talhelm is live outside the campus in Raleigh with these new developments. Matt.
Yeah, Renee, we've learned that St. Augustine's will switch to virtual classes in April, and most students are being told to go home, to leave the campus here at that time. I am told by a faculty member that there may be some exceptions to that for student athletes, but those details are being worked out. Just within the last 10 minutes, I actually talked to a student here. He didn't want to go on camera, but he tells me that this was actually announced to students late last night in a meeting here at the gym, also to the other members of the university campus. This was announced in a Teams meeting to faculty members online. Now, the leaders of several groups, including the president of the SAU National Alumni Association, have signed on to a resolution. They are calling themselves the Save SAU Committee. It demands the resignation of the entire Board of Trustees, except the member who represents the Episcopal Church and the student trustee. It also calls for greater transparency and an investigation into how the university got into this financial crisis. Earlier this month, as we told you, Interim President Marcus Burgess sat down with me for an interview. He told me the university is more than $20 million in debt. Here's what the co-founder of the Oakwood Falcon Foundation had to say about this in a statement about the resolution. He says, we will continue to support students, faculty, and staff. Those who created the issues, whether through intent or neglect, cannot be trusted to fix the problem. Our hope is the Board of Trustees will care enough about this incredible institution to step down given their past and current performance. Now, we have reached out to Interim President Marcus Burgess, as well as the university spokesman here, asking those questions about what will happen, how this is all going to move forward here, especially as these students head toward graduation. They have not replied to us yet. We'll continue to work on that. And at last check, according to a faculty member I talked to, pay is still several weeks behind. We know that these faculty members, some of them have not been paid for more than a month at this point.
This is also unbelievably disappointing for St. Aug students and faculty. Matt Tallhelm, live in Raleigh. A controversial Confederate monument in Alamance County will stay. The State Court of Appeals ruled Alamance County government does not have the authority to remove it. This is video from a previous rally outside the courthouse. Now, the state chapter of the NAACP and six other groups joined forces to file a lawsuit asking for the monument's removal. The ruling says the statue is protected under the Monument Protection Act. It also points out that the Confederate Army is federally recognized as military service, and the situation does not fall under one of the exemptions to the act.
Some of former President Donald Trump's most well-known properties may be in jeopardy. That's because his attorneys say they cannot secure the $464 million bond due next week in Trump's civil fraud case. That means Attorney General Letitia James may be able to seize and sell off his assets, including his Trump Tower penthouse. Trump was held liable last month for fraudulently overstating the value of his assets. His attorneys say the nearly $500 million bond he faces is a practical impossibility. A former Trump advisor says anytime Trump is held accountable for his bad behavior, he's going to be unhappy.
He is particularly angry about the fact that he is being held accountable, not just by a woman, but by an African-American woman. In this case, in Georgia, you know, the case that he has against him in New York, I mean, all of these cases are by African-Americans who were strong enough, bold enough, and who were willing to put themselves out there to bring Trump to justice.
Omarosa Newman also added the fact that 30 companies are unwilling to do business with Trump sends a strong message that he should not be responsible for running this country's money.
Taxes are complicated and getting help can be expensive. So Five on Your Side is connecting you with a great opportunity to get your tax questions answered for free. Kelly Arthur is here now to explain how you can take advantage of Tax Pros On Call. Kelly, this is like a lifeline to people who know and really understand taxes.
Yes, I might be using them today. And whether it's maximizing your return or figuring out a problem that's confusing you, Tax Pros On Call can help. Starting at 4 p.m., federally licensed tax professionals are volunteering their time to take your calls and answer your tax questions for free. Making sure you're claiming every tax credit you're eligible for can make a really big difference in your bank account and in your life. And one of the tax pros we spoke with leading up to today's event said he comes across a lot of clients who don't know about a great credit for students.
And there's a credit called the American Opportunity Tax Credit. And that credit gives you up to $2,500 to deduct qualified education expenses for students in a higher learning.
Now, as with most tax credits, there are qualifications and rules that come along with it. That's where these tax pros can help you figure out your eligibility or solve a problem. A free call today could be a big difference in needing to pay for someone to do your taxes or being able to handle them yourself. Renee, this starts at 4. My best advice to get a hold of one of these folks is to call early and call often.
And keep trying. We know the phones will be busy, but those tax professionals want to take your call. All right, Kelly Arthur, thank you so much.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, congressional leaders have announced a deal today to keep the government funded through the fiscal year. House Speaker Mike Johnson said the House and Senate committees have started drafting the text of the bill. He said that would be released and considered by the full House and Senate as soon as it's ready. Funding for the Department of Homeland Security has been a major obstacle in negotiations, but Congress does have until the end of Friday to pass this deal.
Michelle, thanks. Wall Street is on a big rally right now. Take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, up 214 points, with the Fed widely expecting to hold rates steady for its fifth time meeting on Wednesday here as we await that news. The S&P 500 is also in the green territory. NASDAQ is just down a bit in the red.
Raleigh is looking to rebuild more square, and the city is looking for a restaurant owner to help out with that. The city is looking for a business to take over the vacant cafe in Moore Square. The hope is to develop the area into downtown Raleigh's centralmost park near new apartments and hotel rooms. It's an area that has recently struggled with crime. The city will help with costs and breaks on rent until repairs are done. The official advertisement should post in mid-April. Free rides on Raleigh, Go Raleigh buses may come to an end later this year. Now, right now, Raleigh City Council members are discussing whether fare-free service should be ended. Fares have been suspended on Go Raleigh buses since March 2020. The transit service has been covering the cost with federal COVID recovery money. City leaders could choose to begin charging fares again in July.
Next at noon, two black men tortured in Mississippi. What's happening today to the deputies who confessed to the crime?
Also, backing a ban on transgender athletes. What Olympic gold medalist Caitlyn Jenner is saying about one state's most recent decision.
Plus at 12:30, how new reports suggest abortion access might be leading to an increase in the procedure. Elizabeth.
And even though it was a cold start, today is officially the first day of spring. The WRAL gardens are in bloom. We'll talk about when we're going to see some rain this week to help out all those flowers.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Breaking news, the first of six former lawmen charged with racially motivated torture of two black men in Mississippi received a sentence of nearly 20 years in prison. And a second defendant is also expected to be sentenced today. Some of the deputies call themselves members of the Goon Squad. They express willingness to use excessive force and cover it up. The lawmen illegally entered a home in January 2023. Eddie Parker and Michael Jenkins were there. The two were tortured for nearly 2 hours, sexually assaulted, and Jenkins was shot in the mouth. New data from the FBI shows crime rates are actually going down. FBI statistics indicate that crime fell significantly last year, continuing a post-pandemic trend. Agents say the number of murders reported in 2023 is likely the largest one-year decline ever recorded. There was also a 6% decline in violent crime and a 4% decline in property crime. Final data on the year is due out in October.
Reality TV star and Olympic gold medalist Caitlyn Jenner is backing a New York ban on transgender female athletes.
If this continues, it'll ruin women's sports over the next 10, 20 years. Let's stop it now while we can.
The ban would require all leagues or teams who want a permit to use some county-owned facilities to state that they are not allowing transgender female athletes to compete on girls' teams. Two college athletes, who are also interns right now for the Nassau County Legislature, say they are glad Jenner is supporting the county executive.
I'm 5'2", I'm very petite, so going up against a male is most definitely a concerning issue.
I think it is better to address it now than to address it when women and girls actually get hurt and it becomes a bigger problem.
The ban doesn't apply to men's teams with transgender athletes. A Long Island-based advocacy group called Jenner's comments a baffling contradiction to her own identity as a transgender woman and is harmful to the LGBTQ community.
A private California-based foundation is canceling its awards ceremony after receiving pushback from the family of the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The RBG Leadership Award was created in 2019 to honor Ginsburg and her advocacy for women's rights. Previous recipients were women. But get this, this year, four of the five honorees are men, including Elon Musk and Rupert Murdoch. Ginsburg's family says some of the choices strayed from the original mission of the award and what Justice Ginsburg stood for.
Person on an airplane caught spectacular video of a volcano eruption in Iceland. These are images that were taken through the window of a plane as it was flying over Grindavik this weekend. It shows the sky just lit up there in the bright orange from the spewing lava as smoke filled the air. According to the eyewitness, the flight was headed to Vienna when they were treated to that unique scene.
A singer from Goldsboro is moving to the next round of The Voice after another strong performance. WRL's Noah Klein is here now with his message for his hometown fans who are cheering him on. Noah.
Renee, he's moving on. Tay Lewis impressed the judges with his powerhouse battle round, teaming up on We Don't Fight Anymore by Carly Pierce and Chris Stapleton. Listen to this. Just mesmerizing. That's how the judges refer to their performance. Tay Lewis was declared the winner. Now, Chance the Rapper tried to steal L. Rogers, but Reba denied the steal by awarding her playoff pass. We caught up with Lewis to talk about his next steps on the singing competition show with his hometown crowd of Goldsboro cheering him on.
There's just so much talent that is in Goldsboro that nobody really knows about. So this is like really not only for me, but it's for other artists and other singers that want to do this, that's in Goldsboro, that feels like that they don't have the capability to be able to do it because they don't know if they can do it. And so I want to be able to show them that they can do it because I've done it. And I come from a small town just like you.
Making Goldsboro proud every day. Now you can watch Lewis' journey on season 25 of The Voice right here on WRL. That's Mondays at 8 o'clock, Tuesdays at 9.
His journey is so inspiring, especially as a Black country artist. Noah, thank you.
And happening right now in the WRL Life Center, take a look at this. The scaffolding surrounding the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris is being removed, revealing the cathedral's new spire for the first time. It has a golden rooster and a cross. It had to be reconstructed after a devastating fire back in 2019. They've also added an anti-fire misting system beneath the cathedral's roof. Much of it still does remain surrounded by the scaffolding. They say it could take weeks, if not months, to remove. It will not be open during the Paris Olympics in July and August. It is on track to reopen officially December 8th of this year.
Oh, it's sad to hear because I was hoping that they were going to push to get that done before the Paris Olympic Summer Games started. Right?
That would have been perfect timing.
Would have been good. Now I'm talking about summer, but we're just going to touch spring here by 11 o'clock tonight or so.
Yeah, but it's just feeling chilly like winter, but it's not too chilly for golf, says Jeff Hogan.
Never.
I mean, look at how busy it is there at Pinehurst, Elizabeth.
It's not even cold in Pinehurst. I mean, it's like 75 degrees in Pinehurst, right? Tomorrow it will be. But now everybody's out there in their long sleeves and pants. I mean, they were out early this morning in the 8 o'clock hour when the temperatures were still in the 30s. But, man, that sunshine is beautiful. Right now it's 46, so it is chilly. It's going to be a little bit breezy today. Our dew point's 22. Because of that low dew point, we do have high fire danger, so you're encouraged not to do any outdoor burning for today. We'll see temperatures climbing about another 10 degrees by the middle of the afternoon. Puts us in the mid to upper 50s, which is still, you know, on the cool side for this time of year. It's 43 in Siler City, 45 in Lewisburg, and South Hill, 41 up in Roe near Rapids, 46 in Wilson, 46 in Smithfield, 47 Fayetteville, 45 in Southern Pine. So a really widespread mid-40s across the area right now. And we take a look at the wind speeds and gusts earlier. We had a couple more gusts showing up to around 20 miles per hour. We're gusting to 17 in South Hill, Rocky Mount, and Wilson. And our winds are about 5 to 10 miles per hour. We will continue to see gusty winds through the afternoon, anywhere from 15 to 20 miles per hour, really all the way through early tomorrow morning. We're going to start to change up our flow to south. Westerly, which is going to bring us a nice warm up for tomorrow. Looking at 58 this afternoon, though, 56 in Durham and 59 in Fayetteville. Beautiful sunshine. Our temperature, of course, will be below normal for today. Our normal high for today is 64. You know, that's pretty comfortable. We hit 63 yesterday, so that's, you know, normal for this time of year. By April 1st, we're hitting 68, and by April 15th, our normal high is 73. This is coming fast. I mean, in a month from now, our normal high is 73, but, you know, then we'd maybe like to slow it down because then our normal high by May 15th is 80. And well, you know where we go from there. Normal high in July is 90. So anyway, we have to enjoy this beautiful spring weather while we have it. So again, a little cooler than normal today. We jump to 72 tomorrow. And then we're below normal for the most part Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Friday and Saturday, we have the potential for some rain, which we'll talk more about coming up. Thank you to Sandra Patterson and Mevin for this beautiful cherry tree in bloom. They are in full bloom. We had a story on yesterday, of course, that some of the most famous cherry blooms are around the tidal basin. up there in Washington, D.C., and they're in peak bloom. Looks like we're in peak bloom as well. Well, you know what goes with that? That yellow pine pollen, which made its appearance late last week, and it's going to be with us for weeks now. Oak, mulberry, maple, all high right now as well. So I know folks are suffering from allergies. This is, you know, one of the worst times of the year from now, you know, at least through May or June. We may see some above normal temperatures to wrap up the month of March, but we're definitely looking at some cool temperatures for the next few days, including Friday and Saturday. Friday, we have a 50% chance of rain, and Saturday, it is a 60% chance of rain, but it does not look like it will rain all day on Saturday. It'll be a little cooler, 58 on Friday and 61 on Saturday. But coming up, I'll walk you through the timeline for rain this weekend.
Elizabeth, thanks. Durham is working to improve sidewalks for pedestrians. Coming up at 5:30, we look into why it could take over a century to get all the work done at its current pace.
Then at 6, Raleigh City Council is set to start a project that will make parks safer. The plan to add new security cameras and devices. And still ahead this noon, how do you feel about a 4-day work week, huh? Why some businesses said a 32-hour week actually improved productivity. That's after the break. Plus,
oh my gosh, I'm almost bursting through my skin anytime I see the people win.
Kiki Palmer talks about the energy and fashion sense she brings to the game show Password.
Midday at White Lake, where you are looking live right now, Bladen County, watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Probably some cool air coming off that lake. LinkedIn may be adding gaming to its resume. The aim is to inject some fun into the professional landscape, fostering deeper connections and conversations among users. The move could reshape how professionals engage and network on the platform. LinkedIn's global membership is nearing 1 billion.
There's a push to shorten the standard work week from 40 to 32 hours. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders proposed a bill that would cut the work week down to 32 hours without reduced pay. So the UK recently tested the idea. 61 companies tried the 4-day work week in 2022. More than half made it permanent. Revenue remained the same during that time period, and in some cases even ticked up slightly.
When workers have that 4-day week, 32 hours, no loss of pay, they come back into the workplace working much more effectively, efficiently. They're better rested, also more creative.
Some unions support the bill, but it's unlikely to pass in the Senate. Critics say it would be more efficient to outsource the labor to places with longer work hours.
Las Vegas plans to use AI to improve its crosswalks. The AI will detect cars and people walking across the street there to determine how much time is needed to cross it. U.S. Representative Dina Titus got a $1.4 billion from Joe Biden's infrastructure bill for that project. For now, the high-tech crossings will not be on the Vegas Strip, only the city's downtown Fremont Street corridor. A new study is working to see how wind turbines affect nearby home values. They found that homes within 5 miles of a turbine tend to drop about 1% in value. Some factors can change this, like distance from the turbine, how long the turbine has been there, and if you can see it from the house. Researchers also found the negative impact was more of a problem in the 90s. These days, it doesn't seem to exist much, if at all.
Abortion rates in our country reached its highest level in over a decade. Why some say laws meant to curb the number of procedures is having the opposite effect.
Also, a measure designed to protect children from gun violence goes up for a vote today. How law enforcement is getting in on this discussion. And here's a look at your NC Education winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Welcome back this noon. State bans and restrictions seek to decrease the level of abortions.
But two new reports suggest the focus on access might be contributing to an increase in the procedures. Amy Kiley shares what doctors are saying.
A report out today indicates more than a million abortions happened last year. That marks the highest rate in over a decade. It's from a sexual and reproductive rights think tank and indicates a 10% climb between 2020 and last year. That's despite the Supreme Court Dobbs decision falling in between. The Guttmacher Institute attributes the jump to a greater focus on increasing access.
We've seen nearly 100% increase in patients coming here from outside of our state.
Given state bans, some patients travel for an abortion. Others don't even leave home. A second Guttmacher report posted today indicates medication accounted for almost two-thirds of abortions last year. In some states, the pills are available by mail without visiting a clinic, but that could change. Several physicians are suing the FDA over the abortion drug mifepristone. They allege the agency ignored safeguards when making it easier to get. That case is pending in the Supreme Court, which accepted it last year.
The safety profile on this drug is good, if not better, than when it was originally reviewed.
Meanwhile, abortion battles continue at the state and federal level and on the campaign trail. Here's President Joe Biden speaking yesterday when signing an executive order on women's health.
Those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women.
That was Amy Kiley reporting. And speaking of reproductive rights, online sales for the United States' first over-the-counter birth control pill started yesterday.
First Lady Joe Biden will be in Durham tomorrow. She'll be in the area to highlight the Biden administration's investments in women's health research. We've also learned new details about President Biden and Vice President Harris's visit to the trial next week. They'll attend a private fundraiser in Raleigh where the lowest donation to attend is $3,300.
The First Lady's visit comes a day after President Biden signed a new executive order. It's designed to ramp up research centered around women's health. It will also increase funding for biomedical testing. The action is all result of a new study that shows a lack of equal research regarding women's health. It wasn't until the 1990s that the government required federally funded medical research to include women.
Wake County School Board will vote on starting an awareness program on proper gun storage. That would include sending information home with kids to share with their families. WRL's Laura Levine explains this important step toward keeping students and schools safe.
The CDC says 156 children and teens die from gunfire each year, most in their own homes. Oftentimes, it's the result of a child gaining access to a family member's firearm. So Sheriff Willie Rowe here, along with other law enforcement agencies, will be joining in on this discussion with Wake County school leaders, really emphasizing the importance of locking the firearms up. The Wake County Board of Education has drafted a resolution focused on safe gun storage, and today they could vote to adopt that resolution. The main action item on the draft is a plan that would provide families with information and resources about the importance of secure gun storage several times a school year and the legal consequences for not doing so. That could be in newsletters or by other methods. This comes as the State Department of Public Safety launched a campaign for safe gun storage called NC Safe. In the past year, at least three adults have been charged after a student brought a gun into a Wake County school. Today, we're going to hear from school leaders again, as well as other law enforcement agencies across the triangle, really supporting this resolution. The meeting begins at 5:30. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
The WRL documentary Unsafe takes a look at the effect of gun violence on young people. And WRL documentary reporter Kristen Severance talks with families whose lives were changed forever because of unsecured guns. You can watch Some of Trader Joe's cashews are being recalled over salmonella concerns. Some of the low-sodium roasted cashews are being recalled after testing positive for the bacteria. The recall cashews were sold in 16 states. Nobody has reported getting sick yet. You can check the affected lot numbers on the FDA's website and take recalled products to Trader Joe's and get a full refund. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is warning everyone to stop using Tula Duo water beads. You see them here on the screen. They're small beads that expand in water. They contain high levels and contain toxic chemicals. And the reports of children eating the beads are very serious and require surgery because they grow inside the body. The company, Tula Duo US, is located in China and has not agreed to a recall.
So you have a doctor's appointment. Have you noticed getting constant notifications ahead of the visit? The texts, the calls, and emails can be a lot. Doctors want to reduce missed appointments because they cost the practice money. Americans, though, aren't missing more appointments than they used to, but they are booking so far in advance that their plans change and they wind up canceling. The outrage has led some providers to streamline reminders and avoid spamming patients. March 19th is National Laugh Day, and medical experts are sharing how laughter can improve your health. Dr. Kaya Kiery-Prewitt with Cleveland Clinic says laughing can enhance your immune system. Laughing also increases your oxygen, which helps blood flow. Not only does laughing help boost physical health, it also improves mental health by strengthening social bonds and relieving stress.
Laughter, the best medicine. And get ready to laugh. We don't forget your thinking caps, though. We'll have a preview of NBC's hit game show Password. Plus,
I think it's really exciting that, you know, women are having their opportunity in journalism, being able to call the games, equal opportunity for everybody. So it's really awesome.
From breaking the glass ceiling to ensuring more opportunities for women in the future, how one sports broadcast proves that women can call the shots. Password welcomes the voices Chance the Rapper tonight to play against Jimmy Fallon.
Well, Jimmy Fallon may have met his match. Host Kiki Palmer will be doling out those passwords to those guys. And she picked up a big honor recently as well. Mark Barger talked to her about that, as well as her sense of style she brings to the game show.
And now, here's the host of our show, Kiki Palmer.
Taking the reins of a legendary game show last year was one thing. Winning the Emmy for hosting it was another.
To be acknowledged by the Academy and get the Emmy, it was just really like, wow, that's so cool. But I definitely was not thinking about it happening, you know, and not for this show in particular. But wow, it was awesome to receive that.
What is the password?
Choir? The energy Palmer brings to the show is undeniable.
The password is choir!
Oh my gosh, I'm almost bursting through my skin anytime I see the people win.
Or simply get the answer.
Fiance!
From a well-played clue.
Seance?
Me, Password has such a rich history, and so taking it on and being the host for it, it meant a lot, and I felt like, okay, I want to really do this right.
That includes bringing a vibrant fashion sense to her hosting attire.
Something that, you know, kids and adults will love, so it has that kind of like whims to it, whether it's a crazy pattern or a crazy cool shoe, or the glasses have a really fun shape.
Also front and center, just the right colors.
Lavender, like a pastelish purple. Purple has always been my favorite color, but I also love pink, you know, love red. I love things that pop.
Like the pop Palmers brought.
Insane.
To Password. Mark Barger, NBC News.
Password airs tonight at 10 o'clock right here on WRL, right after The Voice. It is on record in my house.
And
it's on too late.
I've seen some episodes from the last season, yes. And he said Jimmy Fallon's really good at it.
Really good. It's a good show.
Yeah. Excited to see. And I love all her glasses, Kiki Palmer's glasses. The looks are fabulous. All right. Look at this beautiful blue sky. Our temperatures are slowly warming up there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. It's a gorgeous day as we await spring.
I liked all of her clothes. I wish they would let me wear stuff like that, right? Anybody listening? No, they're not. Wink, wink. It is gorgeous out there right now. In Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and over there in Fayetteville. I mean, it's beautiful everywhere, but it does feel chilly. We're going to see temperatures warm up nicely tomorrow, and then we're going to start to watch this next system rolling in. This is going to be a coastal low that moves up the coast and spreads rain inland across North Carolina. We're likely to see this starting around late afternoon or dinner time on Friday, and then moving out on Saturday. But the question is, how fast is it going to move out? Let's take a look at this version of the satellite and radar. And you can see we have a couple of fairly dry fronts up here. We're going to see one of those moving through tomorrow evening. We're going to warm up a little bit. This high is going to move in and switch our wind direction to southwesterly. We're going to jump into the 70s tomorrow. And then this front is going to be a dry one that comes through and knocks down our temperatures a little bit just in time for the weekend. But let's watch that low develop. It's going it's going to be moving up the coast and spreading rain across North Carolina. By the time we get to the evening commute, it starts to move into our area. That rain may be fairly heavy overnight, Friday night, and then it starts to move out Saturday. This version of Futurecast has it moving out right around lunchtime or so. It does linger a little bit of rain in our eastern counties, potentially late afternoon. But tomorrow, we'll get our first look at the short-range models. And the short-range models have a lot more detail, and we'll be able to tell a little bit better exactly when that rain is going to move in and move out. So we'll talk in much more detail about it for tomorrow. Right now, it looks like the heaviest rain would be in our eastern counties because it will be a coastal low. So it'll be moving up the coast. So maybe an inch and a half to 2 inches, maybe in a few places, and maybe 3/4 of an inch to an inch in some of our western counties. Our rain chance for Friday is 50%. It looks like it will likely happen by late afternoon or evening. And then that rain continues at about 100% overnight. And then, of course, it slides on out of here during the day on Saturday. Most likely, the second half of the day will be dry. Today, 58 degrees, first day of spring on the chilly side. We did drop into the low and mid-30s overnight last night or this morning. We'll be warmer than that for the next few days by almost 10 degrees, looking at low 40s all the way through Thursday into Friday morning. 72 tomorrow, and then we cool back down. It'll be a bit on the cool side when we see the showers Friday into Saturday. And then Sunday, behind that system, we're cool as well. We'll see a good bit of sunshine on Sunday, but we're looking at a morning low of 39 and a high of 59. So on the cool side, Monday, 61, and it looks like it's possible that we would see some warmer than normal temperatures for the rest of the week into the early part of April. Back to you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Seven women took the mic calling Monday night's Warriors game and doing the pre- and post-game shows.
I want it to be all the time. I don't want it to feel like a pat on the head. Yay, women. No.
The message they hope the broadcast sends to owners and fans.
And your winning Powerball numbers, 10, 17, 20, 39, 44. The Powerball 16, the Megaplier is 3. And no one matched all those numbers, so the jackpot will grow to $687 million for Wednesday's drawing. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. St. Augustine's University will switch to virtual classes in April, and most students are being sent home. This is the latest in the ongoing saga surrounding the school's accreditation. Now several alumni groups are calling on the university's Board of Trustees to resign. It also calls for greater transparency and an investigation into how the university got into this financial crisis.
Happening today, the Wake County School Board will vote on a plan to educate families about safe gun storage. It's a public awareness campaign that would send information home with students. It also includes a partnership with local law enforcement. The meeting gets started this evening at 5:30.
Trader Joe's is opening a second location in Raleigh. It'll be in the Brennan Station Shopping Center on Creedmoor Road. That's in North Raleigh off of 540. No word yet on when it will open its doors. This will be the fifth Trader Joe's in the Triangle.
March is Women's History Month, and one major league team used the opportunity to highlight the contributions and expertise of women. Seven women took the mic during Monday night's Warriors game for the pre- and post-game shows. The broadcast came at a critical point in the season as the Warriors make a run for the playoffs. While these professionals celebrated this historic moment, they also don't want this to be just for one night.
I think there's a lot of work to do in our society when it comes to equity and equality for women, whether we're talking about equal pay or health care. And so if anything, I hope that today shines a light on the value of women.
Earlier this month, all fans received a Women's Empowerment Month t-shirt designed by female-owned Bay Area clothing company.
As millions of people fill out their NCAA tournament brackets, some are turning to artificial intelligence. Coders are looking at which stats matter the most when picking a team to win it all. Everything from free throw percentages, home and away records, second half point totals, it's all being considered. As developers refine their models, bracket experts say there will never be a method that includes every factor that could play out on the court during March Madness. LeBron James is entering the podcast world with the help of a former Duke star. J.J. Redick co-hosts the new podcast called Mind the Game. The first episode drops today. James and Reddick say they'll talk about all things basketball, and they don't want it to be real, so they want it to be real, so they're not inviting any corporate partners or sponsors, anything like that.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Red Barn Rescue. This is Samson, this gorgeous, playful husky, or Keyshawn Samoyed mix, is popular with the ladies. He recently celebrated his first birthday. He's already 42 pounds. Samson has tons of personality, lots of energy, and a stunning fur coat. But if you want a non-shedding dog, he is not the dog of your dreams. His perfect home includes a yard to run in and an active adult to exercise with him. Apply at redbarnrescue.com to meet Samson. He is just mesmerizing. Yeah.
Not hypoallergenic, but no. Cute for sure. It's really not hypoallergenic outside either, because some of that tree pollen that's falling, everything else that's going on here as we reach spring today.
Oh yeah, I've noticed a layer of yellow now on my car. Remember, don't bother washing your car because it's going to be with us for a while.
For sure.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And we get breaking news updates anytime with the WRAL News app.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.